We've been chatting with Hal Blackwell, who has written a book called Secrets of the Skim, as in how to skim profits, I guess. That book is going to be available in June, and I think you can get that, Hal, you said, through Amazon.com when we're at the break. Is that right?
Amazon.com. Go to your local bookstore, request it. They can order some. And also, you can visit HalBlackwell.com, and we'll be glad to send you a copy.
Right. Okay.
That I will sign.
A signed copy. Yeah. Can't beat that. Before the break, we were talking about the ways in which wirehouse brokers get paid, conflicts of interest. And you happen to mention C-share mutual funds and managed asset accounts. Just take a moment and discuss what a C-share mutual fund is and you know, what the problem with it might be or why they might not be as good as something else.
Well, a C-share mutual fund is typically designed for an investment that is going to last less than 6 years. The broker is paid up front, and then in the 13th month, they start earning a trail commission on those mutual funds. It's a very lucrative thing for a broker to sell.
And how much does a broker typically get paid up front to sell a mutual fund like that?
About 1%.
1% up front. And then the annual trail commission, isn't that also somewhere in the vicinity of 1%?
Well, actually, the broker would get about 25 basis points. The brokerage firm would get the 1%. And that's a very significant point because, you know, there's only one pot of money there.
That's right.
And it's either the client's money or
the... Well, it was the client's money.
Or it was the client's money, exactly.
Right. Okay. So the C-shares, the amount that you're paying... Of course, it's disclosed to the client, but it's disclosed in the prospectus that is going to require that person to kind of dig through and flip through a number of pages before you see how it really works. It's not going to be presented to you on your trade confirmation or anything like that, right?
That's correct. And right. If you look at the amount that you of the investment that you made into that C-share when the account is printed, is going to show the amount of money that you gave the advisor. It's not going to reflect
right.
that.
So it gives the impression that 100% of your money is going to work for you, which I guess it is, right? It is going to work for you, but then it's going to be skimmed.
It's going to be skimmed.
Thus the title of the book, Secrets of the Skim. So the other types of mutual fund shares might be better on a longer-term basis because they're simply less costly, right?
That's true. Depending on how long you want to hold, you plan on holding the funds. And that's, the art of financial planning.
Right. So let's just say somebody has a choice between an A-share mutual fund that charges a 5% commission up front or a C-shares that maybe pays 1% up front and then 1% every year. After 5 or 6 years, you would have been much better off paying that commission up front and having a much less costly fund.
Oh, absolutely, because you're paying the 5% on the amount that you pay initially,
right.
Where you're paying on the C-share that that fee's being charged on the whole account balance.
Assuming it goes up.
Assuming it goes
which
up.
Which is kind of a stretch lately, but
yeah.
All right. And what about managed accounts? How does that work within a brokerage firm? A lot of time, I know other brokers, and they take money, and they essentially parcel it out to other managers. Just describe that process.
Well, the managers are names that you may have never heard of, and these guys manage money for a fee. They are benchmarked against whatever type fund they're running, and it is a very lucrative operation for the brokers. Registered Rep magazine quoted a fact that UBS, their average fee was 3%. And I think that's subsequently come down, but that is just an amazing amount of money to be paying someone to manage money in the fashion that it's being managed.
So if you think that the capital markets might generally earn for you maybe 8%, let's say, just to throw a number out there, if you're going to give 3/8 of that away, you're giving close to 40% of your return away in expenses right off the bat, right?
Yeah, and that is certainly a part of the issue. The other issue that I have with it is that these guys are by prospectus required to stay invested, and you're paying this amount of money to have these folks watch your account grow, if they saw Armageddon coming around the corner, there's nothing they could do about it, because by prospectus, they are required to stay invested.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think for the amount of money that you're paying them that they would have that flexibility.
Some latitude to move in and out. You mentioned some other tactics that brokers use to increase the revenues. What are some of those tactics?
Well, I really like to talk about this in the presentation, but I'll throw a couple out here just to wet someone's whistle. One tactic that I find particularly disturbing is the practice of taking an ETF, which is
exchange-traded
fund. One of the selling points of these funds is that their expense ratio is very low. These guys will take it and put it in a wrap account, so the very essence of one of the advantages of buying it, it completely goes away because they're charging you that 1% fee on it, or 2% or whatever the wrap fee is.
So the exchange-traded fund, I'll just put some numbers to that. An exchange-traded fund from iShares might charge 0.25% per year. So the broker advisor will take that fund, put it inside of a managed account, and then slap an additional 1 or 1.5, or you said 2. I don't know if it goes that high.
Oh, certainly it does.
It does. Okay, another 2% on that. So you've just transformed what used to be a very value-laden product to something that doesn't offer much in terms of value anymore.
Yeah.
Because of its expense structure.
And another thing is the structured products. I mean, these guys have structured products that are proprietary. They get paid 2% minimum. I've seen them as high as 4%. They take these instruments, take your money, take their commission, and then put it in a wrap account.
What is a structured product, first of all? Just give an example of something.
Well, a very common structured product would be a debt instrument that uses derivatives to leverage an index like the S&P 500. Whereby you might get 3 times the upside.
Yes, folks, that was English.
It's very hard to explain without getting in depth like that. And that's the reason that what I'm doing is so, I guess, pertinent, because it is hard to interpret these things.
I'm going to just throw this out there again. The conference that you're having, what do you call it again?
It is
the presentation.
A presentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is at the Grove Park Inn, April 6th. What time is that?
From 1:30 until 5:30.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to go to that, how would they sign up?
HalBlackwell.com.
Okay. Just go to the same website.
Yeah, go to that same website.
Okay. We have just a couple minutes left here. When a broker or an advisor is working within a wirehouse, how is that broker judged? Is it based on how well the investments perform, or what's the grading scheme?
Well, when I was first, I guess I had been at work 3 months, and there was a guy there in the office that I worked with. I really thought a lot of the guy, and he walked up to me one day, said, you know, Hal, sometimes this business will make you feel slimy. And I really didn't know what he was talking about until I understood what production credits were and how much that meant to management.
Right, right. So when you act in certain ways or recommend or implement certain products, you get credits.
Yeah, they're called production credits, which are really dollars, but there are ways that you can qualify for bonuses based on a number of production credits.
I see. So that's why in that industry, brokers are called producers.
That's why.
Because they get credit for producing. So they're not necessarily judged upon like the quality of the advice or how well the financial plan worked out.
That's correct.
All right. All right. I've been speaking with Hal Blackwell, who has written a book, Secrets of the Skim. That book will be available on Amazon.com, or you can find it on Hal's website, which is halblackwell.com. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk with Hal some more.